everyone, welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because we're all just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. Thanks for bearing with me last week while we took a break, and I'm excited because this week we have a conversation with a media studies professor and the host of the podcast Good Times, Great Movies, Doug McCambridge. Our taste in movies could not be more different, which is why I love talking to him. Yes, he loves 80s horror movies, of course. But he also tells me about his search to find a movie that truly scares him, because nothing really scares him anymore, despite growing up as a super scared kid. He explains how Stephen King books were his gateway drug into the horror genre, why he loves elevated horror, and why he doesn't often rewatch horror movies, or any movies at all, for that matter. One last thing before we get into this episode. If you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated, as it really helps people to find us. I think I've rambled enough, so let's get into my conversation with Doug McCambridge. Hey, Doug, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Doug McCambridge, and I'm on your show because I'm a huge horror movie fan and have been for a very long time. I host my own podcast. I actually host a couple podcasts, but I host a podcast called Good Times, Great Movies, where my co-host and I never get out of that decade. It's anything that was made in 1980, between 1980 and I guess, I don't know, what, December 31st, 1989, if a movie was released. And I also do host a Schitt's Creek podcast with my wife, which is super adorable. I think that's what everybody loves, right? Husband and wife teams podcasting together.
Yeah.
No, but I'm very excited to be here, because while on my 80s show, we cover all genres, I would love to do way more horror, but my co-host, no, she would not want anything to do with that.
Oh, well. Yeah,
we do it once a year in October, and that's pretty much it for her.
Oh, well, yeah. Maybe there are a lot of 80s horror movies that are just not scary at all. So
not scary, not good. There's just like,
so many.
I mean, there's some good stuff out there. I'm not just on here to promote my stuff. I do listen to your show, so I know that you are not a fan of 80s horror movies.
Yes, that's true.
And don't worry. Listen, I am not here to change that. And if you ever take a listen to my show, none of the stuff we covered is going to change your mind either.
Awesome. Well, we will talk about your podcast in a little bit. But first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
I think, If I'm talking to people, I think I probably tell them it's Suspiria, but I think it might be just because I want to sound smart, and that's probably not true. It probably honestly is the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I feel like my horror background is the same as a lot of people that are my age, let's just say between mid-30s and pushing 50. Well, I'll just say that I fall somewhere in there, where As a child, like, I was a big reader. Like, I read a lot of Stephen King. And my parents didn't really like horror movies. I didn't have older siblings. So I would just see stuff if I was at friends' houses. And even commercials on TV, like, scared me. Like, there are still commercials that are so burned into my head where I'll just try and, you know, keyword search. And I'm like, what's the movie where the coat rack turned into snakes? That's an image in my head. I have not been able to find that movie. So if any of your listeners know what I'm talking about, let me know. But Nightmare on Elm Street was something that I was at a sleepover. I don't know how old I was. And I didn't want to watch it. I was so scared. I was also a really scared kid. But everybody watched it. And I could not take my eyes off of it. I was like, I know I'm not sleeping at this slumber party. I know it's not going to happen, but I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. And horror movies really had that impact on me. Like, these movies affect me way more than anything else. As I get older, movies do kind of make me a little bit weepy. Like I can kind of make myself cry for the first time ever watching movies now. But horror movies are the only types of film that really like burrowed themselves inside my brain, and I can still be afraid of Freddy Krueger, at least in the first one.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's something that's really special about the horror genre is that it can really affect you. Like a rom-com is not going to really affect you. So in the
No.
same way, no.
It can make me angry. Does that count?
I watched during the pandemic, I watched a whole bunch of movies that I had never seen before. They're, with like the classics like Friday the 13th and Nightmare
Sure.
on Elm Street. And Nightmare on Elm Street was the only one that could like sort of hold my attention. So
No,
I do like that one. I hated the remake in 2010. Oh, it was so
I
bad.
didn't even watch it. I
Oh,
didn't
it
even
was.
watch it.
I wanted to fall asleep. I watched it on Halloween this year, last year. I was like, what is going on? This is. Oh.
I only saw images of now I forget the actor's name who played him. I
Burt
forget his name.
Englund?
No. The remake.
Jackie Earle Haley?
That's it. Yes. Yeah. I saw images online. I was like, I'm out. There's no way I'm watching this. It looked ridiculous. And again, like, I mean, I like the second one. I don't know. Did you go any further into the series?
I
Or did you
watched
just?
the second one and I was kind of bored by it. I know there's
Okay.
like a whole, I know what the themes are,
Yeah.
but yeah.
Right. Yes. I like the second one. I thought the third one was just fine. After that, it's so silly. Like it's by the time Roseanne and Tom Arnold show up, it's just off the rails. So, beyond the first one, I really have no interest. And it's like that with me with a lot of those series that did start in the 80s. Like I can get into Friday the 13th, the first one. It's really tough for me to sit there and to watch any more than one of those movies every 5 to 7 years.
Oh, they're not scary at all.
No, they're not. I think, and I don't even know if this is part of the question. I'm not really scared by stuff anymore. Like that's a really challenging thing. I feel like I'm always chasing that fear, like that feeling I had when I was a kid. I mean, I can be upset by things and I can tell that things are off-putting, but now I feel like I'm more interested in horror for just mood. And I appreciate camera angles more than I did before, but I can't be scared. So I'm kind of glad I watched that stuff when I was, 11,
Yeah.
12, 13 years old.
Yeah, definitely. If I would have watched like Friday the 13th and Halloween when I was like
Yeah.
10, it would have hit differently. But
Sure.
yeah. Can you think of a movie recently that scared you? Like, what was the last movie that scared you, if any?
Boy, I'm so familiar with your show. I'm so sorry. I'm like trying not to say things that other people have said.
I mean, I don't know
And
if everyone, li I don't know if people listen to every
no.
episode, so I don't think, I don't, like, people, you can repeat yourself. It's fine.
No, that's fine. I don't want you to think I'm just ripping off other people. No,
No.
another movie that I know that you weren't too crazy about and you saw the twist coming, A Tale of Two Sisters.
Oh,
I
yeah.
loved that. I loved that. And I remember watching it. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And by the end of that movie, and I just said, I'm not scared. By the end of that movie, I was in my basement. And it was very late. My wife, children, everyone was asleep. And I was standing up and inching my way toward the stairs to go back upstairs while the movie was still going on.
Oh,
I've
wow.
never had anything like that since.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard other people say that they think the movie is really scary too.
I know you said you saw the twist coming. I didn't. And I like that I didn't. I think
Yeah.
that hopefully that enhanced my viewing,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if you can't figure it out from the beginning, it's probably going to be a better movie. I figured out Malignant
Sure.
from the beginning. Stupid movie.
Oh my God. The praise for Malignant is something I do not understand. Because I didn't figure it out from the beginning, but I don't know. I was about 20 minutes in and I went, I think I've seen enough movies where I know what's happening at this point. Like I totally know what's going on right now, and nothing is shocking, interesting, surprising. It was not a fun watch.
I'm surprised you didn't like it because it's like so like a batshit crazy 80s movie.
I guess there's a lot of things when it comes to horror that I don't like, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but I certainly don't like, I don't like self-aware, self-referential horror a whole
Okay.
lot. I'm not really a fan of horror comedy all that much, and I don't like a lot of things that are trying to do things that have been done before and done better before.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So, how did you first fall in love with the horror genre? Did it just start when you watched Nightmare on Elm Street, or was there another catalyst?
No, I think that was it. I don't want to make this answer very boring, but I really do. Like I can pinpoint that time, and like I said, I kind of got started more reading horror because my parents didn't watch horror movies. Like I said, I wasn't allowed to just run out. I lived in the middle of nowhere, so I couldn't go to the local video store because we had to drive quite a ways to get there. And my parents were not renting things that were rated R at all. My parents weren't prudish, but they certainly weren't totally cool. So, I watched action, a lot of action movies and stuff like that. And my mom, like, she's a real movie buff, and we would watch old movies all the time. Like, I remember when Cape Fear came out, the Scorsese one, and she's like, that seems a little intense, but it is a remake. So I saw the original Cape Fear. I've never even seen the Scorsese version. So I would grab my mom's Stephen King books and I would read them, and they were wildly inappropriate for me at that age, like a lot of sex and a lot of violence and things like that. But I think my mom was like, he's reading, so that's a good thing. So I really, yeah, well before I really got into watching horror movies, I read a lot of that stuff. And then I eventually came to watch a lot of Stephen King movies and was very disappointed by almost all of them.
Oh, are there any adaptations that you like?
The ones that are less, let's say, monstery and traditionally horror-ish, like Misery's great. Misery's fantastic. And things like Stand By Me are great. That's not a horror movie. I don't know. That might be it.
What about, have you seen Gerald's Game?
Yeah, Gerald's Game was good. I kind of checked out like the last half hour. I wasn't really crazy about where that went. And the book was so gross, I didn't even finish it. It was a little too weirdly sexual for me. And for like a 15, 16-year-old boy to say that, it must have been pretty rough. I don't remember it, but I remember trying to read it and going, this is not for me.
The movie is a tough watch. I've never read any Stephen King because I think it might just scare me too much, but
Yeah, some of it. Oh, Carrie's amazing. Yeah, some of it might be. Yeah, some of it's really tough. But I would say if you're ever just tempted, Salem's Lot is really good. Like that's a really, really good vampire story.
Yeah, vampires are like one thing that I don't care for. I don't, not for me.
Maybe that'll be it then. If you're afraid to be
Maybe.
scared, read a vampire story. You won't be scared and you might find you really enjoy it.
But I'll be grossed out because just the watching somebody suck somebody else's blood in a movie just grosses me out. I watched Interview with the
Oh, okay.
Vampire a couple of years ago for the first time, and I was
Yeah.
like, this is disgusting.
Oh,
So,
all right. You know what? Yeah. If Interview with a Vampire grossed you out, don't even dip your toe in any sort of vampire horror beyond
Yeah.
that.
I got through Midnight Mass last year, but
Okay. Yeah. Well, you did more than I did. That was a slog.
Oh, you didn't like it?
Yeah, I really didn't.
Oh,
And I
well.
feel like a lot of times, you know how it is. People talk things up to such a degree. And I was so late to that party. I was like, oh, I
That's
can't
fair.
wait to watch this. And I kind of knew what I was getting into. People even said it's slow, it takes a while. I don't know. I think I got two episodes in. It's still sitting there. I could finish it at some point.
Yeah, I think it's worth finishing. It like so much happens.
Okay.
So I would definitely encourage you to go back because it is a kind of a slow burn, but like then it amps up. So, yeah.
All right.
So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
I think a lot of it has to do with when you say the horror genre, it's these splinters of genre. Like I said earlier, I know plenty of people that say, oh, I don't like horror movies. And I will bring up something like Misery. And they're like, oh, no, Misery's great. Like, well, that's kind of a horror movie. And I really do think that's the reason is not everyone that likes horror movies are the, stereotypical people that go to horror conventions. And I think that because of that, there are so many avenues into the genre that are a lot more tame or things that people don't necessarily consider horror. You know, if people don't like blood and guts and just like, these horrible torture porn stuff, like I feel like that's such a small segment of what the horror genre is. So you're going to get people from all walks of life that like these movies. I mean, on the flip side, I would say that like probably a lot of crazy people like horror movies too. Like probably a lot of like legitimately monstrous people do. But there are plenty of normal people that love this stuff. And I do think it is because there are so many different types of films that just, we talked about comedies, we talked about, strangely enough, musicals. Like you can find that stuff in the broader horror genre.
Yeah, definitely. Let's not, we're not going to say that people who like horror are crazy. That's what I'm trying
No,
to disprove.
I did not mean crazy in that regard.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard
Yeah,
time.
no, I know.
So, what's your favorite subgenre in horror?
You know what I think it is now? I think it is, and it's a term that I don't think I've ever used before, but I hear it a lot, elevated horror.
Oh.
I find that I'm really into that stuff. Like, I don't care what A24 puts out. I will watch it. I mean, I loved Midsommar or Midsommar. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Like, I really loved The Witch. I love things that are sort of that. I know we talked about Midnight Mass, but things that are a slow burn and things that are honestly just you mute it and you put it on the background and it looks beautiful. And it's not, it's, I grew up on slashers. I have a soft spot for slashers, definitely. But I am so impressed with what directors nowadays are doing. People that are making these rather lengthy horror movies. And overall, the length of movies does bother me sometimes. But just how wonderfully slow and deliberate some of these films are. And I mean, Hereditary was, I don't know, maybe one of the greatest things I've seen in the past 5 years, hands down. And also, have you seen The Black Coat's Daughter?
I did. That was a little bit too much of a slow burn for me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I fell in love with that movie. And then he went out and he made Gretel and Hansel. And I was like,
I
well,
like that
this is
movie.
great too. Yeah.
I
So
like that
yeah,
one.
that's the kind of stuff I'm totally digging that. So
Yeah, nice.
I hope I don't get tired of it.
Yeah, no, I like a lot of A24 movies as well. I love Hereditary and Midsommar. Who are your favorite horror directors?
I feel like my answer for this would be like, oh, Wes Craven and John Carpenter, and I don't.
Those are valid answers.
Yeah, no, and I'm not trying to be too smart or something like that, or come up with something clever and creative. There aren't really directors out there, especially horror-specific directors, that I have to go see what they do. Like David Lynch, if he ever makes another movie, like I have to go see that. Yes,
Okay.
and probably like Nicholas Winding Refn. Like if he does something, I have to go see it. Outside of that, it's not that I don't appreciate certain director style or something like that, but it really is like, I don't,
Yeah.
there's no director that really calls to me and I'm like, oh wait, that person made a movie? I can't wait to go see what they're doing. Like Nia DaCosta, I am very excited about what is to come,
Yeah.
but there's nobody that's always on my radar.
Okay, that's fair. You should meet my friend Sharon because she loves David Lynch. She's obsessed.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, he's, I considered, I think everything he's made horror
Nice.
in some fashion.
I tried watching something of his once, and I've watched the first episode of Twin Peaks, and it's not for me. I'm not, the style is just not for
Yeah.
me. But I know a lot of people like it, and I'm not. I feel like I always say I don't like things on this show,
Yeah.
but I'm not trying
No.
to
No,
say what
that's
you like
okay.
is
And
bad.
yeah, no, and I mean starting with Twin Peaks, like that's a bit much. Just be not that it's a bit much, but I think from the first episode you could decide easily if it's for you or not. And then sitting there and going, meh, and then going, wait, there's how many more episodes of this? I don't like that's a daunting task. But I would say if you so you haven't seen Blue Velvet. Okay. All right. I don't even know what's a great starting point with him, so
Well, I'll look into it maybe.
you know, don't do it on my account and also talk to your friend about
Yeah.
it.
So you mentioned before that you're married. Is your wife into horror?
No, not at all. No,
No.
I don't have this in my normal life. Like I really don't. Like I can't go talk to the neighbor about horror movies. No, you're talking about the weather, whatever's happening in sports or the, you know, what everybody's upset at a school board meeting or some nonsense like that. No, I don't like this is completely through connections I've made online, to be honest. Yeah, I really don't have that in my regular real life. Like I don't, if I want to go see a horror movie, I kind of don't have anybody to go with. Yeah, I took my wife to see, we were still dating. I took her to go see The Ring. That was a huge mistake. She was very upset by that.
Such an intense horror movie, so.
Yes, that's a movie that I have revisited a couple times, and both times I watched it, I went, how is this PG-13? Like
Right?
it's the most wild PG-13 I think I've ever seen.
Oh, I love
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, she was very mad at me
Oh, and then she went
with
out
that
with you
one.
again, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know how that happened.
So I know you said you have a daughter, right?
I have three.
You have three daughters. Are you going to introduce any of them to horror when they're old enough?
My oldest is 15 and she's pretty interested in it. I'm a big physical media collector. I have a lot of just films of all genres. Like I have so many just Criterion and blah, 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 so on and so forth. So she'll just grab things from time to time. She will always have to show me what she grabs because there are certain things where I'm like, oh no, you're not ready for this yet.
Hostel is
But
not until next year.
no, and first of all, I would never own Hostel. I'm never gonna buy Hostel. No, but yeah, so she has shown interest, and my other two, I mean, first of all, my youngest is 7, and I have no desire to show her anything yet. And my middle daughter, she has no interest in any of this stuff. I have movie posters, horror movie posters, little figures and stuff like that. She has never once asked me a question about them or picked any movie up off the shelf, which my oldest one did from the time she was 5 years old. So yeah, yeah, that's really great. But the thing that's always amazing to me is I'm like, these three kids were raised by the same people and grew up in the same environment, and they're wildly different from one another. So yeah, if they're interested, I am more than happy to show them stuff and to sit down with them and to talk to them about it, but I'm not going to push it on them, let them figure out what they're into.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So tell me about all your podcasts. Start with Good Times, Great Movies.
Like I said, it's an 80s movie podcast. We always try and tie the movie into the time of year or a holiday. Or if I'm really desperate, I'm like, okay, it's this actor's birthday or something like that. Like that was the idea from the outset, was to be like, in summer, we'll cover summer movies. And in winter, that went off the rails real quick once I realized that's a lot of work to try and figure out and then to find things that are streaming or, you know, stuff that I have or stuff that's relatively cheap to buy. So we just kind of pick stuff that we've never seen before and have kind of always been interested in watching. Like that's
Oh,
sort of what the podcast is. And it's been going since 2015,
cool.
my friend and I started. And it really did start as a reason for she and I, we went to college together and we're really good friends. And then she moved out to the West Coast. It was really just a reason for us to talk to each other for like 2 hours every other week, and we've kept it up. I've kept it up longer than any real job I've had. So,
That's very cool.
yeah.
And you're a college professor, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah. It's in English, correct?
It's English. It's more media based,
Media?
but
Okay.
media, we're like under the umbrella of English. So technically, I'm in the English department, even though no one
Yeah.
ever wants to try and read anything I write because it's just a bunch of nonsense.
Have you ever been able to incorporate any horror elements into your classes?
Yeah, all the time. I do it way too much. I do it more than I actually should. So I'll teach things like Photoshop and Illustrator, computer drawing, computer illustration, photo editing stuff. I do a lot of that in class, and I'll constantly just give them images from horror movies or stuff to try and draw. And I'm like, guys, here's what I want you to do. Just try and freehand draw a mummy, and then we'll see who's just the best or something. Just like little in-class assignments, stuff like that. Nothing that is a large multi-week thing. I try and make that somewhat relatable to what they're there to study, but I will sprinkle these things in. I do not hide what I'm interested in. If any student wanders into my office at work looks like my office at home. There's just horror movie posters and
Nice.
DVDs piled up in a corner, and yeah, so there's no way I can actually bring it into real lessons that I do.
Yeah.
But if I see any way to incorporate it into any in-class assignment, I'll definitely do it.
That's so cool. Do students ever come up to you and are like, "Oh yeah, I love horror too."
Yeah, I not as much as I would like them to. And also I think because like for as much as I think like, oh yeah, these students are pretty cool, like I could hang out with these students, it doesn't take long before I'm like, oh, there's like a 20 plus year age difference here, and our sensibilities are very different. But I do sometimes have students come up and they'll just like pull a film book off my shelf and leaf through it while they're waiting to talk to me or something like that. And every now and then I have students that ask for like recommendations or something. I don't know if they think they're getting a better grade by doing that, but they do. I'll grade them better.
Oh, good. You'll have to send this episode to all your students and be like,
Right,
there's a hint
yeah.
in there.
If they haven't figured it out by now.
Oh, that's awesome. An article came out in 2020 that said that horror fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
I mean, I can only speak to it from my perspective. And as I said before, because my interest in horror has so much to do with an online community, I really didn't like it's bad to say because COVID impacted so many people so horrifically. Boy, I barely missed a beat when it came to like what I'm gonna do for fun. I mean, do I go out to dinner with friends? Sure, I do that stuff. Do I go places with my wife? Yes, but we were stuck in a house together, so I didn't miss that. But no, my day-to-day, like getting home from work, unwinding, whatever that is, hanging out with my kids, and then once everybody's in bed, I normally watch a movie anyway. So strangely enough, it really didn't change anything. And so many people that I interacted with sort of felt the same way and were having the same experiences. So it was really nice to just, hop onto Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or something and just talk to somebody and to say like, oh, hey, did you check this out? This just dropped on Shudder. It really didn't feel any different as, in that regard. A lot of things about life changed, but not so much that.
How do you decide what horror movie to watch when you're looking for something to watch?
This is very, I'm very specific with this. I am not a big rewatcher now.
Okay.
When I was younger, and we had like seven VHS tapes in my house because they cost like $80. I watched the first Michael Keaton Batman. I hate it when people exaggerate. I've seen that movie at least 80 times. That's not an exaggeration. Home Alone, I have seen over 200 times. I once tried to calculate how many times I've seen that movie. So now, for as much as I do have quite a collection of physical media, boy, I don't rewatch stuff. I kind of want to consume as much new media as I possibly can. So I will always try and watch something I've never seen before. But if I know the movie is either pretty intense or it's something that I'm going to want to think about, I don't watch it at night. I don't watch it before bed. I have no problem with watching a horror movie at 3 in the afternoon on a Saturday. I will do that. I can turn off the lights. It's fine. Yeah. So a lot of times at night, I will just put on something that I know is light and it's 85 minutes in and out. And I will go back and be like, oh, this movie came out in like 1993. And I've heard people talk about it. I've just never seen it. So that's the majority of what I end up watching. It's just movies I've heard about, but I've never seen for one reason or another.
Very cool. Do you have any comfort horror movies that you go to when you just need to put on something that's familiar?
I do. I love, and I don't, this is the dumbest of hot takes because it's not a hot take because it's something I like that nobody talks about. I love the original Ghoulies movie. Like, the original Ghoulies movie, and for people that have never seen a Ghoulies movie, I think that they think of those little monsters as basic little puppets and stuff because that's what the Ghoulies are. And certainly what the Ghoulies became in subsequent movies. But the first one is about like a demonic blood ceremony. And the Ghoulies themselves are such a minor part of it. It's basically like people in their early 20s hanging out in a house, summoning some sort of demon thing. And the Ghoulies are such a minor part of that. And I love that movie so much. And then the second one came out, and it's just rubber monsters running around, and people love that movie. And then they go to college somehow. And then there's a fourth one, which I've never seen. But I really do. I do like the original. I also like, have you ever seen The Gate?
No.
Oh, okay. It's really good. Like it's a perfect movie for like a 12-year-old kid, because
Okay.
there are some scenes that are somewhat intense. But it is kind of like a Goonies horror movie almost. Stephen Dorff is in it, but he's like, 12 or 13 years old. That's another one I go back and I revisit. But no, when it comes to horror, like, it's a shame to say this, but so much of the comfort horror movies I watch are Mystery Science Theater movies when they just watch a dumb horror movie and make fun of it. Like, I could watch that at any time.
Very cool. I should introduce you on Twitter to my friend Ashley. She was one of my early guests on here, and she loves Ghoulies so much.
Oh my God.
So,
Okay.
yeah.
Please do, because we are a rare bunch.
Yeah. I've never seen any of them. I know they're all on HBO Max, but I've never watched any of them.
I mean, I certainly am not telling you to watch those movies. Like, I'm not going to recommend it because it's really not good. Like, it really is the definition of a comfort movie where it's like, oh, this movie makes me feel good because it's mine and nobody else
Yeah.
has it and nobody else likes it.
Fair. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
I mean, there's a lot of movies I won't watch again. Like I said, I'm not really a big rewatcher, and a lot of times it has nothing to do with like objectionable material in the movie or anything like that. But yeah, there's plenty of stuff I won't watch again. But when it comes to stuff that really turns me off, people have said it before, like torture porn is gross and I don't like it and I never liked it and I watched the first Hostel and I was like, all right, I don't need to watch any more of these movies. Like, I think I know what's going on here. Martyrs is something that you've brought up before. And Martyrs, it's a fantastic movie. Like, I would
Yeah.
really champion that movie for people who have never seen it before. But of course, I'm not going to watch it again.
Yeah.
Cannibal movies? Ugh, no. No cannibal movies, especially the gross ones from like the late 70s and early 80s, like those disgusting found footage, like Cannibal Holocaust and stuff like that. Those are horrible because that's like real animal abuse and that stuff. And I'm like, I
Yeah.
don't know. Let's not do that. So, yeah, stuff like that, stuff that's gross and disgusting. Like, I have no time for it.
That's understandable.
Yeah. And if
Have you?
if I do hear that a movie has that stuff in it, I probably won't watch it, which is kind of a shame. Like, I try not to find out about movies. I don't watch trailers. people told me one day that there was a new Candyman movie out, and I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, yeah, it was already out. It's actually streaming now. Like, that is how clueless I am a lot of times. So I don't pay attention to stuff. So if I've heard really, really bad things about how brutal a movie is, it must be really bad, and I just do not watch it.
Did you get to see the new Candyman?
I did. Yeah, I
Yeah.
really liked it. Yeah.
Good. Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
What a good question. I am not a big theater goer. I
Okay.
will say that. I think a lot of it, like I said, has to do with the fact that my wife and I, our tastes do not jive. It's very rare that we see movies in the theater. I think the last movie I saw in the theater was Knives Out. So, and I also, I don't know, even at this age, I feel so self-conscious. Like, I won't even go see movies by myself. So, yeah, I'm not a big movie goer. And especially growing up, again, since I was the only one that liked horror movies, I really didn't go. I will say, I had just graduated college. It was the summer after I graduated college, and the Blair Witch Project had come out, and my mom wanted to go see it. I didn't even know what she was talking about when she said, "There's this movie." We knew nothing about it. It was such an experience. I had no idea what I was watching. Like, it was the craziest thing. And I hope that there are people out there listening that, don't have this exact experience, but just the experience of seeing something that I'd never seen before. Like, I'd never seen a found footage movie in my life. I didn't even know that that was a thing that was done. And to go in and to watch this movie, and to just be like, this looks like shit. Like, what are they shooting this on? Is this real? Like, it was such a fun experience seeing this, knowing nothing about it going in. And then, like, at the time, the Sci-Fi Channel, they made a documentary, like another fake documentary about the people who made, then I was really confused. Then I was just like, maybe that was, like, I really had no idea. And this was in the, early stages of the internet, and it's not like I was going onto message boards or whatever and talking to people about this. So I really didn't understand anything I was watching, and it was super fun. I've never had another experience like that.
That's awesome. Did you think it was real when you saw it?
No. I don't even know. Like, I really don't know. Like, I almost feel like I sat there the whole time questioning whether what I was watching was real or not.
Yeah.
But again, we're talking about 99. I can't remember back that far.
What has been your favorite horror movie that you've seen so far in 2022?
Well, so like I said, I don't get out, I don't go to movies. So I have a very small sample size. Hold on, I have my letterbox right here. Okay, good. So far, like, it would probably be Fresh. Like, Fresh was really
Nice.
good. I enjoyed it. I wasn't crazy about the third act. Like, I loved everything building up to that point. But when it just became running and chasing, it became a little cliche there. That was great. You know what I really loved about that movie is that, I don't know, what are we, 20, 25 minutes into the movie, and the title comes up? I was like, whoa, I wasn't even aware that I really had not seen any credits. That was wonderful. The performances in that movie are super great. That was a lot of fun. But like I said, I do just have a very small sample size of stuff from 2022.
Well, we're only 5 months in, 4 months in, really.
Oh,
So,
yeah. Okay.
so on the flip side of that, what horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in the rest of 2022?
All right, I don't have a good answer for this because, like I said, I don't look into horror movies. I don't know what's coming out. I did see a preview for, you'll probably know what it's called, the black phone, the pay phone, just a phone, something like that,
Yeah,
which
black
looks
phone.
super interesting. Yeah, like that really looked interesting. So that'll be my answer since I have no idea what else is happening.
That's a great answer.
All right.
Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
You mean other than Ghoulies, right?
Yeah, other than Ghoulies.
Yeah, probably. I mean, this Like I said, my podcast is an excuse for us to watch movies that we've never seen before, but certainly movies that we've heard about. I watched a long time ago, I saw Slumber Party Massacre. It's not great, and he's got a drill and he's killing these girls. We watched Slumber Party Massacre 2, and it is adorable. It is such a fun time. Have you ever seen it?
I've never seen it. My friend Jody has been trying to get me to watch it for like 2 years. So,
Oh, please do so. I mean,
okay.
I am not one, like, I hate to tell people what to watch. It is so fun and it's cute in such a strange way. And the killer is awesome. It basically just becomes a string of music videos at one point. It's such a fun movie and so different. And it really is something that I knew nothing about. And it doesn't have a Blu-ray for some reason, or it did. It was like a Shout Factory, like I think doubled with the third one. And it's been out of print forever. That's a really great movie. No, as far as movies I like, it's not like I like a whole lot of really obscure stuff that people haven't heard of, or I like movies that everybody else hates. I don't want to say that my taste is kind of boring or kind of in line with everybody, but anything that comes out, like the thing I hate is, Twitter hot takes or something like that, when people will be like, oh, The Babadook is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. It must be the worst thing made. Like, no, it's not. Like, there are 300 other movies that are dumped on streaming that are horror movies that are definitely worse. And also, the worst movie ever made is something you'll never see. So it's clearly not that. Like, yeah, if you like something, you can find a group of people that like it. If you don't like something, you can find an equal amount of people that don't like it.
Yeah. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh, I'm going to go back to my good buddy Stephen King here, because I said I wasn't crazy about a lot of his films, and I read so many of the books. What I always tried to do was I always tried to read the book before I watched the movie. And yes, did I read over 1,000 pages of it before I watched that, TV miniseries back in like 91? I did. Christine is a book that is amazing. And Christine is a movie that I think is absolute garbage. And I watched that movie, and it took me, I think, over 15 years to read the book because I hated the movie so much. And I finally read the book and I went, this is amazing. And this is nothing like that horrible movie. I would love to see somebody remake that movie. And I know it's Carpenter, and everybody loves Carpenter. I do too, but that's a really bad movie. I would love to see that thing remade. And I didn't see the new Pet Sematary. I heard it's not great, but
Yeah,
the
not
original's
good.
not great either. So,
Yeah.
like, I don't know. I don't think you can do any worse. Like that, or wait, did they remake Children of the Corn? Or am I just imagining
They've
that?
done a couple iterations of that.
Oh,
I've
did they
only seen
really?
one,
Okay.
but
All
yeah,
right.
there have been a couple of versions of that. But I think that
Oh.
they think somebody could redo that because the quality of the 80s or 90s one
This,
is really
yeah,
bad.
that's really bad. There
Yeah.
were a lot of like, and I think it is because, Stephen King was, he was hot. He was
Yeah.
huge. His books were flying off the shelves. People are going to make those movies, and for some reason, I don't know, nobody's, like you said, other than Gerald's Game, I'm sure there's other ones I'm not thinking of, but I feel like somebody now, somebody with a more artistic sensibility, I think can really
Yeah.
do wonderful things with his work.
Yeah, definitely. What did you think of the remake of It Chapter 1 and 2?
Meh, it's okay.
Okay.
They were fine. I talked about my 15-year-old daughter. She loves them. She
Oh.
loves those movies. She's watched them so many times. I even had to buy a, it was a foreign, it was, I don't know if it was British, UK, or maybe a German release or something of the Blu-rays, because I think she was watching them on HBO, and then they left HBO for something else that we didn't have. So I had to buy those for her because she just loves them. Yeah, I think I'm just, I saw the old one. I love the
Yeah.
old one. I'm an old man now. Like it didn't affect me.
Fair enough. So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
I kind of thought at first Angela from Sleepaway Camp. But I'm not so sure about that one because she doesn't say anything and she probably would kill me. Like, I know this thought experiment is we are friends with them, but also in that movie, she didn't talk, so that would be pretty boring. There's a movie out there called Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2.
That is one that my friend Jody also made me watch. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you how you felt about the movie, but
Not for me, but
okay. I think I'd hang out with Mary Lou. She seems like a ton of fun. Like at the beginning of that movie when she's just boozing and just making out with dudes at the prom, like that would be fun. I think she'd be a lot of fun. Or like I brought up earlier, the villain, murderer, monster, figment of her imagination, whatever, in Slumber Party Massacre 2, that guy's super fun. Wears a leather jacket. He looks like a greaser. He's singing all the time. He's got a guitar with a drill on the end of it. I think that would be a lot of fun too. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here and chatting with me. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter or Instagram if they want to chat?
Yeah, I only do things through my podcast. Nobody wants to
Okay.
talk to me, the person. So if you do want to reach out or do want to talk to me, the podcast is Good Times, Great Movies. And normally the handle is GTGM or GTGMcast. So you can find me there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being here.
Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun. I'm so happy just to talk about horror movies for a little bit.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There? I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Doug McCambridge, and thanks to Doug for coming on. I'll leave links to where you can find his podcast, Good Times, Great Movies, in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at who'stherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and get vaccinated.